Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What is up? Bright and early here on WWL. I am Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long's over there. Just big yawn. He looks like he needs some coffee. Coleman behind the glass getting everything going. We're getting ready for day three of the draft, man. I'm excited.
This is
fake energy, by the way. I have none.
It wasn't a yawn, by the way. I was laughing at Russell Westbrook trying to push P.J. Washington, the highlights of the Clippers-Mavericks game last night. It was a pretty funny one.
It's a good reason to laugh.
Yeah, no, it was, because P.J. Washington was just smiling at him. I don't know.
We're here to talk about
that's
football,
basketball.
Charlie.
We got to move on from basketball. Jeez. We got to get to football. Sorry.
Anyway,
sorry.
Welcome back to Draft First Take. Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long, we're kicking off today's coverage of the Saints and NFL Draft. Saints fans, get out to Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard for all the live action of the draft, plus all pro analysis and exclusive interviews with the Saints draft picks. That'll be Steve Geller, Mike Haas, Mike Dettillier, and the great Deuce McAllister. Charlie, day two of the draft. You know, we bet the over-unders at the end of yesterday's show. I put it at 1.5. I bet the under, you bet the over. I won because they made one pick. They traded up to do it. But
they did
made
make the trade
pick.
Up, so yes. You know, they made the trade up. It just wasn't in the third round, and we'll listen to the Dennis Allen audio later.
Yeah.
I don't think they were really super aggressive trying to even move into the third round. I think the price may have been a little bit too high.
You know, I hesitate to take DA necessarily at his word there
because
I don't think
they
would
do
be
it.
Honest. If they were like burning up the phone lines and they couldn't get anything done, they wouldn't tell us that. But I don't think they were, you know, aggressive is an interesting word. I think they called around. I think they did their due diligence is how I would put it. But I think they went into that draft, and, you know, DA talked about this. I think they went into that draft not keen on shipping out future assets. And I think that's the smart thing to do because, you know, this team has basically been pick poor since 2018. Since they made that trick with the trade to get Marcus Davenport in 2018, they've been behind the eight ball in terms of you're always pulling away from the future to make a move now. And the one thing I can say about this trade, they moved it from 45 to 41 to take Alabama's Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback, dealing with a foot injury, which I think saw his stock slide a little bit because of that. So I think they got some good value. They went up four picks, nothing major, but they also didn't give up anything major. They traded one of their four fifths and a sixth rounder. I think it was 165 and 190 to make sure they got this guy. And, you know, you could say, hey, maybe you could have sat there, but you don't want to be in a situation where you're in love with a prospect, you really like him.
Go get him.
And you're going to sit there and risk losing him in the second round to save two picks that you're probably going to trade somewhere else anyway. So I thought it was a good move. I like the pick. And I appreciate the approach because it's what I've been pleading for over the last several years is like stop hamstringing yourself in the future because you're nervous about today.
Well, let's talk about Kool-Aid because cornerback wasn't a position that we talked about a lot, right? Entering round two, we talked about a couple different positions of need like interior offensive line.
Yeah.
We talked about wide receiver. We talked about defensive line. We talked about different spots. We didn't really mention cornerback because that's been a position of strength for the Saints over the last few years. But at the same time, you can never, in the modern day NFL, we say this all the time, you can never have enough receivers and you can never have enough cover corners. So, especially elite guys. And there was a best player available pick. The value was the term that kept coming up when talking about Kool-Aid McKinstry at 41. Because if you talk about him as maybe a fringe first-round prospect and he's there on day two and you want to actually move up to secure him, you can imagine where he probably was on the Saints big board.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who he played all season. We don't exactly know when his injury occurred. He had a Jones fracture in his foot, and that was discovered at the combine. He ran a 4.47 with that injury. Right. And you know, I wouldn't say he had his best college season last year. He obviously, you know, he's always breaking up passes. He's a guy who's going to make an impact. But I do think that injury probably did affect him, even if he
Absolutely.
Didn't realize it was there. You know, guys play through stuff all the time. They don't necessarily know, you know, okay, this is a serious thing that I need to get fixed. But, you know, I think when you kind of look at his season with that in mind, it makes you feel a little better about, okay, why did his stock slide a little bit? Well, he's dealing with this significant injury that should be fixed. Now, it's another guy, you know, you look at Kendre Miller last year, right? Like, the Saints have shown that they don't mind, as long as the medicals check out in other key areas, they're okay with drafting a guy who's dealing with an injury currently. They did the same thing with Kendre Miller last year. He was dealing with a knee injury. And that did, you know, that did affect his rookie season, right? It took him a while to get going in camp. You know, he dealt with a knee injury late in the preseason. I think he missed the first two games. He came back for week three. Kind of just dealt with injuries all season long. And you got to wonder if maybe that kind of stunted rookie offseason, you know, kind of led to some other things. You're compensating in one area and you get injuries somewhere. I don't know. That's something that happens. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen again. But it is kind of, you are courting chaos when you draft a guy who's actively dealing with an injury. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and once again, we'll listen to the DA audio later on in the show. But DA did mention that he's not sure about his availability.
He's not expected to be ready for OTAs.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, by June and post-June, he should be good to go.
I hate when he gives a timeline like that because it's just, you know, everyone's going to write it down. And then June's going to come. Where is he?
Yeah,
he misses a day camp, everyone's going to freak out.
I mean, the fact that he's already kind of named a date means that he should be completely fine by training camp.
No, like they did their work here, right? You're not drafting a guy if you have serious concerns.
Especially with
a
second round pick, like a premium pick.
And they went and got him, they wanted him.
Yeah, and they moved up. You know, so they moved, as you said, a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick, and their second round pick to move up those four spots. And, you know, they went out and got him. And we talked with Ryan Fowler, the host of 100, or the game on 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. And he kind of talked a little bit about the foot injury with Kool-Aid McKinstry and how this wasn't, you know, his best season. But he was a 3-year starter at Alabama in the secondary, coached by Nick Saban. Like, once again, y'all asked DA about that last night, about how well coached he was in college, because the secondary is kind of like was Nick Saban's baby when he was there at Alabama. So, yeah, I, once again, we talked about it. We called it value. We called it best player available. I would be curious to see where he was on their big board. The fact that they were so willing to move from 45 to 41 to make sure that they got their guy.
Yeah, and you talk coming in, you know, okay, maybe cornerback wasn't a need. And I talked to Deuce about this on the show last night. You know, it's everyone's going to look at this and say and try to draw a direct line from Kool-Aid to Marshawn. And I don't necessarily think that this pick is about Marshawn. I think it's about Kool-Aid. Now, it could affect Marshawn down the road. It could be a factor in, hey, now we feel a little more comfortable making a move than maybe we did prior with the depth that we had. Because you can say, hey, we're set at this position, but every year, you're like, look, what would they have been without Ike Adam last year?
Yeah, he's gone now.
Right? He's not there. So, I mean, you can just kind of slot him into that role, or you can say Alante is in that role. And one thing that I did go into this draft saying was a need was slot corner. And DA said that Kool-Aid's going to work outside and in the slot. I do think Kool-Aid profiles well to the slot if they want to use him there. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe he becomes your dedicated slot corner down the road, and you figure something out on the outside. Paulson Adebo's going into a contract year, so it's anything but settled at the cornerback position. And I think, you know, out beyond quarterback, after quarterback, cornerback is that position that you're always willing to bypass the path to an immediate role as a starter to increase depth in that room, right? Like, it's like the Falcons did it with Michael Penix. We can talk about that all day long about whether it makes sense, but that's the idea, is like, yeah, he's not going to start right away, but you know you're going to need that guy down the road, or your boat's not going to get very far to begin with. So you're going to put people in it and let them be ready when when you need them. And so I think that's kind of where that approach is. And it's the second time in 3 years we've seen him do it, because they did it with Alonte Taylor in the second round in 2022.
Yeah, and Yadam's a great point, because you saw the kind of contributions that he made last year before he got moved, I believe, in the offseason to San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff. So, I mean, he was great for the Saints as kind of like that fourth cornerback role. And DA specifically said, like, you need a fourth guy. You need a dog at the fourth guy, because if someone gets hurt, you're out of luck if you don't have anyone to replace them. So it's depth at the worst, but I think that Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, once again, a guy that they're really, really high on, they have good plans for him.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, Darren Rizzi talked about this on the pre-draft show, and, you know, he was mentioning with the new kickoff rule, you're effectively having two returners back there.
Yeah.
And so he expects teams to, and I know people are like, well, they're just going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. I really don't think that's going to happen as often as you think it will. But, you know, he expects teams to play kind of keep away from these guys that are known as elite returners. So Rashid Shaheed, you know, he's an all-pro return guy for a reason. Teams aren't going to just gladly kick in the ball, but they are going to still try to pin you, because if you have the option to get a team within the 10-yard line, you're going to try to do it. But what happens when they kick it to the other guy? If you have an elite corner over there, then so you're either saying, hey, kick it to one of these two elite returners or give us the ball at the 30. And that's not a bad trade-off. But if you have somebody back there that everyone's like, oh, we'll kick it to that guy, you know, they will do that. So, you know, I think directional kicking is going to be a factor. And it's going to be a lot easier to directional kick, because hang time doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Literally, it makes no difference whether you get it there in a second or you get it there in 5 seconds, because no one's running until he catches the ball anyway. So kickers are going to be able to kick it exactly where they want it to go.
Circling back around to Ryan Fowler's interview on WWL last night after the pick was Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he came on to talk about him and he raved about his character and stuff like that, and a team leader, and once again, these words that keep coming up with these early on picks. But you were also talking about his special teams prowess and what he did as a returner. And Fowler kind of had a couple points about Kool-Aid as a returner that just this past year, like maybe he struggled a little bit with confidence issues as a returner, so he wasn't as good as he had been prior. And maybe the foot injury had a little bit to do with that. It wasn't that he was like necessarily muffing punts or muffing kicks or anything like that. He was having trouble fielding them at times, which is how Fowler kind of described it.
Position.
So, I mean, we'll see kind of what their plan is for him special teams wise. I think that he could be a contributor, especially once again with the new kickoff rules. The one spot I'm not worried about with the Saints at all is special teams, Darren Rizzi in the new kickoff stuff. Like, he has a plan for how they're going to attack that, because he was one of the ones spearheading the charge for the new kickoff rules. So, yeah, I mean, maybe, yeah, Kool-Aid could be involved in that. You know, we'll have to see.
Well, and I think he's also going to be involved. I think he'll be involved on both ends of special teams, because that's why you want those kind of depth corners, too.
Yeah, I was talking about kind of returner, though.
Like, no, I understand, but you're also talking about a gunner on punts.
Yeah, of course, right.
Talking about guys having to go out and make tackles in that special teams group. Like, we're all going to sit here and talk about the impact of that new kickoff from a return perspective, what your returners can do, but it's also going to be a huge factor of what teams cover well, right? Because that ability to cover is going to be just as important as that other guy's ability to return. Because the teams that have elite coverage units that can consistently pin guys inside the 20, because you're going to have that ability, that's important. And that's why, you know, why do teams tend to carry a couple extra defensive backs as opposed to an extra receiver, an extra running back? Well, when you get into those special teams units, those are the players that make up those coverage units. And who would you rather have? An extra wide receiver who hasn't tackled a guy since high school, or a defensive back who literally makes his living running around and tackling guys?
Yeah.
So I do think that goes into the depth process. And I know people are going to sit there and say, oh, you spent a second round pick on a special teamer. No, that's not what we're saying. We went through the same thing with Alonte Taylor. But it is a factor that you're going to draft a guy. You're going to have him on the roster. He's taken up one of your 53 roster spots.
What's the plan for him?
And you do want a guy that you think can make an impact in year one, even if he's not able to get on the field as a starter. So you don't want to draft a guy who doesn't have a role to a starting or a path to a starting role immediately if you're also like, yeah, he's kind of meh on special teams. Like, having that, that's part of the game. Especially, and even more so now than it has been. So, I don't know. I like the pick. I know a lot of people, there's a lot of players on the board that people were excited about. You know, oh, maybe get a wide receiver. Although, we talked about this prior to it. There was a lot of wide receivers, but they went off fast.
Yeah, the first 7 picks of round 2 were either wide receivers or defensive tackles.
That's crazy.
You know, you're looking at the best available. They started peeling off, like kind of like you mentioned. And then Also, later on, A.D. Mitchell was a really surprising drop in the draft. And
you got to wonder if there's red flags that came up in terms of the interviews and stuff.
Well, yes. Yeah. That's what people were kind of reporting on, was that maybe there were some character concerns and stuff like that. And Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, went on like a crazy rant about it. And he's just like, we got to stop, you know, digging these kids down or putting these kids down and stuff like that. He's a good kid, all that. If you haven't seen the rant, go check it out. It's kind of expletive laden, so we're obviously not going to play it. But he went on a pretty crazy rant about that. A.D. Mitchell falling to 52 to the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Colts actually even moved up to go get him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was Mike's 30th prospect on his big board, and he was there at 52. That's a great value pick
for him. Well, it kind of reminds me of Kayshawn last year. He went a little farther back, but it's like you don't see a talented player like that fall that far unless there's something that's scaring teams off. Right?
I love the comp that NFL.com had him of George Pickens, because I mean, George Pickens maybe had a couple of character concerns as well.
That's
but
true.
He's worked out for the Steelers. We'll see if Mitchell works out for the Colts.
No doubt. Well, let us know what you think of the first round, second round Saints picks, Taliese Fuanga and Kool-Aid McKinstry on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers. Talking text line 504-260-1870. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. We're going to come back, talk more about the Saints picks. We're going to hear from NFL and draft analyst Brian Baldinger. He caught up with Saints media last night talking about the Saints draft picks. This is WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff Nowak with Charlie Long coming back in on Draft First Take, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. I do want to get everyone prepared because this is the exact scenario we were in last year. And we were like, Saints don't have a pick until like late fourth round. And then we get to the first pick of the fourth round and they're on the board. So just be prepared because this first round of the fourth round of the draft is going to start. And I don't think they're going to do the same thing. I don't think they're going to trade up to the top of it. But it's really hard to imagine they don't get into the fourth round somewhere, right?
Yeah, so Deuce was talking about it last night, and he said that he could see them moving up, and we'll have this clip later on in the show as well, that he could see them trying to make a move up into, like, the mid-fourth round is where, like, maybe not the first pick of the fourth round like it was last year with Nick Saldivari, but maybe you're kind of looking at the 120s range or something like that, because there is still a big gap before you pick at 150.
Yeah, and I mean, they have five day three picks, and I don't know if they have five day like roster
Correct.
Spots. So I don't know. Like, I don't think you want to make five picks. I think you'd probably rather come away with maybe four, three. And if you could turn the last three into a fourth, I don't know. Like, I don't want to get into the too much into the future picks, but I do think you could afford to send a future late rounder if you need to grease the skids. Last year, they also traded Adam Trautman. Picked up that sixth rounder for A.T. Perry. So
another thing that you're looking at with the fifth round or the fourth round, specifically trying to get up into it, the fifth round, you're not only at 150, you're at 170 and 175. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that one of those picks would be sent off, maybe both potentially, but at least one of them would be sent off as on top of maybe 150 to try and move up to get to 120 or something like that.
I agree, and let us know who you're looking at, who you want to see drafted on the Oakland Jewelers Talking text line. We do have one text based on last segment. Yes, how will the new kickoff rule affect onside kicks?
You
basically
have to declare it, right?
You have to declare it.
Right.
Right. You can still do an onside kick, but there's no more surprise onside kick. So, you know, the
ambush
iconic,
is dead. Yeah.
Iconic play of the Saints Super Bowl. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. Which is kind of a bummer, but also, like, onside kicks are boring anyway. Like, they don't work anymore. You can't do unbalanced lines or anything like that. It's not fun.
Yeah, we also have another text. My football guru, John Madden, felt that O-line and cornerback were the two most important positions on the team. Saints look like they've improved these positions with these picks. I would agree. 150%.
Yeah.
Fuaga at 14 and then Kool-Aid McKinstry at, 41. I think that two spots, like, yes, you highlighted offensive line as, like, the biggest area of concern heading into the season, and you got a guy to lock down, a tackle spot on this team. And then McKinstry, at the very worst, a really, really strong fourth cornerback depth piece. Once again, we talked about you're using a second-round pick on him. He's very high on your board. You obviously have a plan for this guy going into the future and even going into the season.
I agree. Speaking of gurus, Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst, caught up with Saints media last night after the Kool-Aid McKinstry pick, spent a good chunk of time talking about Taliese Fuanga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State. So let's hit that audio.
Baldy, obviously with that first round selection going to Oregon State and bringing Fuanga here, what have you seen from him and his tape, and what does he bring to the New Orleans Saints offense?
He's a tremendous, tremendous talent. He's got anvils for hands. He's got real Polynesian power. His feet are in the ground. It's hard to push him around. He hits people. He shocks people. I've seen him just at right tackle now. I don't know that he can't play left tackle. I just haven't seen him play it. I've just watched him this year at right tackle, and you watch him against the best, the number one defensive player in this draft so far. You watch him against Latu. He didn't have any issue with Latu at all. In fact, when he got a hold of him in the running game, he just ran him right off the screen. He's a very, very talented player. And, I thought Joe Alt was the best technician in this draft, and he'd started for 3 years, and he was at left tackle, and, he was heavily recruited. I knew his dad, so I was a little favored towards him. But I think Fuanga, I think he's got more power than Joe. And he might have as much power as J.C. Latham. So he's got real power in the run game. But, when you're just looking at protection and ability just to dance and slide and kick and be consistent, he's up there with the best in this entire draft. And it's been a very good offensive tackle draft.
All right. Can you speak to some of the kind of like nastiness traits that people talk about with him and kind of playing through the whistle with him?
Well, I mean, he's a hunter. So, you get him on the backside of these outside zones going the other direction, he's just looking to knock people down. You get him downfield, he's knocking people down. He's a finisher. And so I don't know if he hears a whistle, but he's looking to, he's looking to put people down. He's looking, if this was wrestling, he's looking for 2-point takedowns. So, it's not every play, and he's not trying to do anything dirty or anything like that. But if he can finish a play, he finishes a play. I mean, it shows up. He's not what Quentin Nelson was coming out of Notre Dame or what Quentin was like the first 2 years in the league when he was doing that every Sunday. But it's enough to know that, you can see his power. When he starts bending guys backwards and knocking people over the pile, he's got real power, whether he's shocking you with his hands or he's just driving you with his legs.
There's talk about like the outside zone fit there with Kubiak coming over from the San Francisco offense and kind of what the Saints.
Yeah. So, look, I Clint's offense is it is a symphony. And when it all goes together, it's almost unstoppable. I saw when his dad was in Baltimore, we've seen it throughout the league. We saw it in Houston. John Benton's the offensive line coach now. He ran that scheme in San Francisco. It's a really effective scheme. But you've got to be able to, you got to get your head to the outside. You got to get these guys moving. It starts right at the point of attack, whether it's inside zone, outside zone, wide zone. You got to be able to move. So I think, I don't know what he ran, 5.140. But he moves, whatever it is. Like his first step quickness is right where it needs to be. If he's got to cut off a three technique on the backside, I don't think he's going to have a problem digging guys out and be able to run with guys like that. If he's got to get to the second level, on the backside of these zones, like I think he has no problem get to the backside. If he's got to run that defensive end and take him wherever he wants to go, You know, the one thing about Fuaga, you don't see him on the ground. He stays on his feet. He's a good athlete. He's got good balance. There's a lot of guys that have power. There's a lot of guys that weigh a lot. There's a lot of guys that have a good base. But not everybody has great balance. And so I think, you know, one of his good traits is he's got really good balance. And so, you know, if you're running an outside zone and somebody's coming through your inside shoulder and they're going to try and knock you like and spin you like a top, you don't see that. You don't see people doing that to him.
Brian, that word symphony you used to describe Clint's offense, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's everything goes together. When the outside zone is working and the play action fakes are going and the defense is responding and you're not sure who has the ball, is it the back? Is it the quarterback? Is it been given on a fly sweep? It is very, very tough on a defense, especially the linebackers or anybody playing at the second level where they're trying to figure out, because they're taught slow till you know. And so if they're not sure on that mesh, if it's going to the back, we want it to look all the same. We want to hit our spots, you know, as an offensive line, or is it being pulled on a bootleg or some other type of play action? I mean, it's difficult to know, but when it's working, you're going to get big, huge chunks and you're going to get big play action passes down the field.
Brian, do you have any thoughts on either Eric McCoy or Cesar Ruiz being suited for that system?
I'm biased. You know, I know Cesar really well. We work out together over at the barn, Lane Johnson's house in South Jersey. So there's a big group of us. You know, Caesar's really smart. I think his best position really is center. You know, when McCoy got hurt, he went in and played center. You know, he wasn't given that luxury when he got drafted. They threw him in at guard. But he could run. You know, I mean, he had to, you know, the fracture in his foot, you know, that he had to come back from last year. Looks like he came all the way back just fine. But no, Caesar can run. He can move well. And McCoy's been, look, I mean, outside of the 1 year, he's been really, really durable. So I think both those guys would be fine inside for what they want to do.
Just similarly with getting this new offense here in New Orleans, how do you think it could benefit a guy like Trevor Penning as well?
Well, I think, you know, I think Trevor, you know, he came in, he got hurt. Like, I know Doug really liked him. And I know he worked really hard with him. It just didn't work out. You know, I mean, he just couldn't stay in front of his man. He just didn't have good balance. I think this can help him. I think this style can help him. Now, you know, the play action, the run action, some of the stuff can help him. But when it's 3rd and 13, it's 3rd and 13. Like, there's no play action pass for that. There's no symphony for 3rd and 13. I mean, you got to be able to stand up, and you got to be able to stay between your man and the quarterback, and you got to be able to drop an anchor and stop these power rushers. So he's got a long way to go. He has not been good. He has not been consistent. He's got to really work at it. I mean, everybody drops an anchor differently. Some guys do it standing straight up. You know, some guys got to get really, they got to really get their knees bent, and they got to like widen their feet a little bit to get a base. But everybody's, if they're going to play that position, they got to handle power. And so he's got to get better. It can help him. I think he can help him somewhat. It can hide some flaws, but ultimately you got to be able to stand in there and pass protect against these elite rushers one-on-one, ideally without backs chipping and without slides. You got to be able to stay in there. They drafted him to be that guy. It's not over yet, but here they are back in the draft. Now, Ryan's, you know, had some, you know, he's got some medical issues. I don't know what his status is at this point. But, you know, they need a guy that can come in and play day one. And I think, I know Fuaga can. We got to see if Trevor can handle that. If he can, it certainly makes everybody else that's there a whole lot more valuable to their roles.
Brian, one of the things on Fuaga and the evaluation process, they talk about his arm length. Kind of just expound on that. Is that really a big deal, and are people just making it a big deal?
Well, I think he's in the 33 inches. I think he's 33 and a half inches. Ideally, offensive tackles, you like them to be, you know, 34 to 35. When they get to 36, they're in the, you know, the freakazoid range. DeJuan Jones last year had like 37-inch arms, and Amarius Mims had really long arms. It doesn't guarantee anything. You know, they said this about, you know, Deion Dawkins. who's been starting at Buffalo now for the last 5 or 6 years, whatever it is now. They can't get him out of there. It doesn't kill you at all because of how his feet are and how strong he is and how powerful he is. But it is a measurable that is real. Arm length does make a difference. I haven't seen guys just attack his body with shorter arms. You know, he's probably an inch shorter than what, say, a guy like Olu is at Penn State. And some of the other guys, like, forget about J.C. Latham. He's in that 36-plus inch range. I don't think it should prevent him from being able to play tackle, left or right tackle. I think he's a tackle. If they want to move him in at guard, like I think Faetano probably will go to guard, although I know he can play tackle. He's shorter than Taliese, but I don't think it's a deal-breaker at tackle at all, the way that he has played.
All right, that was Brian Baldinger talking about
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Taliese Fuanga, short arms. Charlie, have you ever got your arms measured?
I actually haven't. I'm not sure how long my arms are, but Baldy's so good, man. Like, like the first comment that he made was just like, oh, he's got anvils for hands. I was just laughing in the studio. That's such a great kind of comp. But no, I mean, all that Baldy had to say about Fuanga, just, I mean, how can you not get excited for this kid, right? I mean, even with like the maybe slighter, shorter arms, didn't really hurt him that much at Oregon State, so.
I also appreciated his comments on Trevor Penning, because I think that's a big question, is how does this new offense help him kind of grow? Because, you know, I just don't think he got the development that he needed last year. And
we'll
so,
see what Benton and Dennison can do with him.
I hope they can do something.
Yeah.
Because he's going to, you know, right now he's the starter. I mean, I don't know who you'd look at and say like, oh, yeah, Oli Udo maybe? Yeah. So we'll see. But all right. We'll be right back with more of the Draft First Take, brought to you by TrainSouth.com, right after this on WWL. Oh, yeah. That's I've been waiting to get that out. It's my Kool-Aid Man impression. I've been working on it all morning. How'd it sound?
It's a strong 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right. I'll take that grade. But, yeah, this is WWL's Draft Fest preview. We're getting you ready. We're taking you up till 11 a.m. Then we're going to hand it off to the dudes out there at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, to Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller, and the great Deuce McAllister, breaking down all the Saints picks in round 4 through 7, day 3, rounds 4 through 7. But we're going to go to the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line. We're going to chat with Jimmy from Gretna, but we did tell him we had to set some ground rules. This is a draft show, Jimmy. We're not allowed to talk about the Pelicans.
Jimmy, we'll say real quick.
I'll let you get one out. I'll let you get one pack the blender out.
Charlie can talk. I can't talk.
No. I'll be quick about it, Jimmy. Teams that are up 3-0 in a playoff series, best of 7, 151-0. So the Pels lose tonight.
Well, there you go, buddy.
So
all I'm saying is, people need to go somewhere near the Superdome today around 2:30. I'm just saying, maybe wear red. I'll leave it at that.
All right. I appreciate that.
All right. Are we good?
We're good to go. What you got about the draft, Jimmy?
Let's talk about the draft. Number one, Michael Pratt, the Tulane quarterback, still on the board. I wanted to get y'all's take on the possibility of the Saints getting him or targeting a guy like him, and how you guys feel. Are y'all surprised that he fell down? And also, a guy I know and love, Frank Gore Jr., running back, Southern Miss, kind of short, has a lot of experience. I think we do need a running back. I know running backs aren't high priority in the NFL draft anymore. But, you know, with Kamara aging and, you know, his money demands down the road and this and that, I want you to get your take on Frank Gore Jr., the running back from Southern Miss, on the board. What do you think of these two guys?
So, Pratt, I'm surprised. I mean, Jeff and I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I thought that Spencer Rattler would have gone kind of maybe late round two, early round three, and I thought Pratt would have been a round three guy. And Deuce said last night he thought that Pratt would have been a round two guy, and neither of them went in day two. So, you know, you had that crazy run on quarterbacks, the six that go in the top 12. A quarterback still hasn't been picked. So, once again, six quarterbacks went in the top 12. From 13 to 100, not a single one got selected. So both those guys, as well as like maybe Joe Milton from Tennessee, are going to get taken today. It's just a matter of where. Is it a fourth-round selection? Maybe so. I think probably for both of those guys at this point, because, once again, I thought that they were going to be day two guys. I thought maybe late second, early third for Rattler, definitely third for Pratt, and they're both sitting here on, you know, round four. So, I was shocked that neither of them were taken yesterday. At the same time, I would still be surprised if either of them fall out of this round, Jimmy. As far as Frank Gore Jr., I think that Mike had a sixth round grade on him, somewhere around there. He's going to go today as well. He's going to get selected. The running back that I'm keeping kind of my eye on is Tennessee's Jalen Wright, who they talked about.
Top guy left on the board.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of those guys to really keep an eye on if you want, you know, a elite athlete at the running back position. And that was another spot that Deuce kind of highlighted, is when they were talking about positions of need. Once again, we'll play that audio in a little bit. You know, interior offensive line, interior defensive line, running back, tight end. Those were like the two kind of skill positions, tight end and running back. A couple of good guys at both those spots. Jared Wiley from TCU at tight end. Jalen Wright, running back from Tennessee, is also on the board. So.
Yeah, the running back that I keep been talking about a lot, I keep my eye on, especially in the fifth round. You're going to get on the board at 150, and it might make sense. Is Dylan Lobey, kid out of New Hampshire, at the Senior Bowl. Talk to him. He's just that kind of scat back, you know, Danny Woodhead type dude that I think the Saints would want. Yeah, Frank Gore Jr. He's tough because he's going to be pretty far down the board. You know, I look here on the ESPN's best available. They have him as the 24th. Running back available.
Oh, wow.
After, you know, currently. So, you know, obviously that doesn't mean a ton. If a team falls in love with a guy, they're going to take him. But, you know, it's interesting. With Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler, it's tough to gauge the quarterbacks in the mid rounds, right? Like, you saw all the quarterbacks go off early, but then you're getting on the board in the mid rounds. This isn't a guy that you're profiling as a starter in the next couple years, a developmental guy. It's not a stunner to me to see him fall. But I expect him to be off the board in the fourth round for sure.
I think only four, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, four running backs have been taken so far.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
So it was Marshawn Lloyd that went to Green Bay, the running back from USC. I know that Blake Corum was selected as well at some point in here. Trey Benson went to Arizona, the running back from Florida State. And then the first running back that was off the board went to the Carolina Panthers.
Jonathan Brooks.
Was Jonathan Brooks at pick 46. So it's a ton of running backs still left available. It's not, you know, the strongest. Blake Corum went 83 to the Rams. So, yeah, I think it was four running backs that got selected in day two. So there's still a ton of running backs available if you want to go grab one of them.
All right. Well, let's. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Appreciate that. We're going to hit a little bit more audio from Brian Baldinger here. He talked about Kool-Aid McKinstry. Let's get in on that, and then we'll close out the hour and kind of tease, okay, who are some of the players that we are looking at going forward. But Coleman, can you hit that audio?
Brian, we talked a bunch about the offensive linemen here. Do you have any thoughts on Kool-Aid McKinstry, their second-round pick?
Well, I thought going into the season last year that Kool-Aid was the number one corner in Alabama. And he still might be. It's just that Terrien was just so good. You know, Kool-Aid didn't have any interceptions this year. Terrien, I think, had four. He had more action come his way. But the thing that jumped out about Terrien was his tackling. And just his overall awareness. But at Kool-Aid, you know, look, everybody gets trained by Nick at Alabama. You want to play corner, you're going to learn how to play press corner. Your hands, your feet, you're going to get trained. And so I don't know if any team played more press man coverage than the Saints did last year, whether it's Marshawn or Alante or, you know, a Debo. Like, I mean, they played a lot of press man. And so that's kind of what they want to do. And I think that's what Kool-Aid can do. Like, he can be that guy. I think Alante's been excellent. You know, I mean, I think he's got what it takes. But I think Kool-Aid has been trained like that. I have no doubt that he can come in there and play that style of defense that the Saints want to play.
Kool-Aid was almost exclusively an outside or perimeter corner in college. Do you see him holding on to that role in the NFL?
I didn't see him play much. He might have played inside. I didn't see it. They usually have their inside-outside guys. I saw Terrien go inside with some elite receivers. I don't remember seeing number one, Kool-Aid, doing that. He might have. I didn't watch every game, but I watched enough of him. It looks like he's an outside guy. He's 6'1 and change. But, you know, look, I think you just, you know, you get a guy, young guy like that, you cross-train to see if they can handle it. Everybody needs a guy that can play inside against these, you know, elite slot receivers and how they're moving receivers around. So, I think you got to cross train him and see how he handles it. I don't have much problem with him going inside against some of these quicker guys that are in there. You just worry about, you know, can he handle the physicalness, you know, just the blocking, the run, the defeating, guys in the run game, getting off blocks and making tackles, you know, like, you know, I mean, obviously you've had some elite guys that, you know, could do that. Malcolm Jenkins comes to mind. You had some elite guys that could play inside like that, over the years. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson could play inside, could play that role really good. I don't know if Kool-Aid can or can't. I just haven't seen him do it.
Do you feel that you'd be confident in him though on the outside?
Yeah. No, I have a lot of confidence in Kool-Aid. Like, I think he probably got taken. Probably, you know, I think he probably held out that he could be a first round pick. But, you know, where he got taken with you, I think it's a good place to go. I think it plays to his strengths. And I don't have any question that he can play outside, you know, at the NFL level, and the style of play that the Saints like. You know, he should probably line up, you know, in practice right behind Marshawn and see how it's done. You know,
I think it's only a time for
one. Fun fact, full name, first name, JaQuincy. I asked him if anyone calls him that, you know, maybe like even his mom. Nope. He's Kool-Aid. He is the Kool-Aid man.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again to Brian Baldinger for giving us that insight. This is the WWL Draft First Take Show. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. We'll be back on WWL. All right. Closing out hour one on WWL Draft Fest. You got something to say, Charlie?
Yeah, I almost forgot to get this jab in on Jimmy. Debo, Kyle DeBarge hits that 3-run shot. UL takes down Southern Miss 3-2 in game one.
Brutal.
Sorry, Jimmy. We're going for that sweep this weekend, boy.
Brutal, but all right. Keep it locked on WWL. We'll be back at top of the hour.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.